Second reading today comes from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8, 19 through 22. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt God's name together. I sought the Lord who answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. The poor cried out, and the Lord heard and saved them out of all their troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. With me exalt God's name.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. The Lord keeps all their bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in God will be condemned.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. With me exalt God's name.
Amen. I was listening to the Sunrise Daughters, sisters, and I was wondering if we can call it the Sunrise Sisters and a brother. What do y'all think? And I just come in every now and then and go, doo-wop, doo-wop. You can do that? All right. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I am a sinner saved by your grace. I'm a broken vessel, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, it's my prayer that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. There was a gentleman who went to his friend Bob, and he says, Bob, I've never told anybody this, but I just feel a need to tell you. And he says, what's going on? He says, Bob, did you know that I've been married for 30 years? And Bob says, no, I didn't know that you were married for 30 years. He said, yeah, but we fought every day for 30 years. He says, I'm sorry, man. I didn't know that it was like that. He says, every day? He said, yes, every day for 30 years. Even today on Sunday morning, y'all fought this morning? Yes, even Sunday morning, this morning we fought. Bob was at a loss for words. He said, well, what does she say? He says, that woman got on her hands and knees and she crawled to me, man. Well, what does she say? She said, get from under that bed and fight like a man. It's a simple story, but it makes me wonder, if you're in a marriage that's so bad, why wouldn't you cry out to God? Why wouldn't we cry out for help? How many of you know that we can't live this life on our own? Anybody? And that marriage wasn't designed for us to do it by ourselves. The math of God is 1 + 1 = 1, and that's a hard enterprise. Because you grow up being an individual, and now you're married, and you have to share everything. I don't know about you, but I need God's help in my marriage. Anybody? But what keeps us from crying out? Maybe we can explore some possible reasons. Some of us might feel totally independent, that we don't go to people and ask for help. And even if we went to them, they might see us as not independent. And so we don't go to anybody and we don't ask for help. Some of us might fear rejection, and therefore we don't go to anybody. Or maybe we're just perfectionists. But in both cases, the fear of failing or being seen as a failure, we decide that we're not going to ask for help from anyone. Maybe you might feel vulnerable, and the last time you asked for help, you said, nope, I'm not going to do that anymore. You swore to yourself that you were not going to ask for help, so you spun this cocoon of self-reliance as your chief defense. And the prevailing thought is, I'm not asking for help. Maybe you come from a family of secrets, and in that family, you don't talk about what goes on. You don't even talk about what's going on with yourself. You keep it right there in the family. Sometimes we are as sick as our secrets. And so what keeps us from crying out? Fear of rejection, fear of seeming weak or incapable, fear of being a burden to someone else, fear of losing control. You may ask, why am I talking about this? Because in the story that was read and you're hearing about blind Bartimaeus, what I love about this story is that Bartimaeus just cries out. He's not interested in doing the church stuff. He's not interested in praise the Lord. God is good and all the time. He's not interested in that stuff. He's not interested in dogmas and confessions. He just cries out because he has a need. But what I like about Bartimaeus is that he knew that God can do something about his situation. He knew that God can and that God will. How many of us know that God can and that God will? He will bless our situation. And he can change it for our good. One of the first things that we can learn from Bartimaeus is that he was perceptive. Nowhere else in the Gospel of Mark, where someone is so perceptive about who Jesus is with so little data. But notice what blind Bartimaeus says. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You see, the title obviously indicates that Jesus is God's designated agent, and it introduces the notion of Jesus as a royal figure, an image that becomes very important when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, Mark 11, verses 1 through 10. Or when he goes on trial, Mark 15, verses 1 through 15. And when he dies, Mark 15, verses 16 to 32. Despite his blindness and the connotations of his spiritual ignorance, he understood who Jesus is. And he knew that Jesus could heal. He knew that Jesus can do something with broken people. I went on to look at Mark 8 about this other healing that Jesus did with another blind person in Mark chapter 8. And after Jesus heals this person, he turns around to the disciples and he says, who do men say that I am? Some say Elijah. Some say a prophet. And Jesus says, but who do you say I am? You see, that's the interesting question, isn't it? Is he Lord of your life or is he just a prophet? Is he the one who you really believe can do anything but fail? Or is it just church stuff to us? Bartimaeus understood who Jesus is. And he called out to him, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He perceived who Jesus is. The next thing that we notice is that Bartimaeus is persistent. You see, the crowds are telling him to be quiet. When you're a blind beggar, you don't get any respect. And I imagine that they didn't tell him very nicely, but for scripture purposes, we have him just saying, be quiet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But Bartimaeus would not be silenced. He knew that this was his moment. He knew that Jesus was coming, the one who can do something about his situation. And I began to think about us. Why don't we cry out? Are we so proud? He said, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Scripture says he yelled even louder until he stopped Jesus right in his tracks. And I love that. I read this story about DeWitt Wallace, who had this idea that he would make a publication that had condensed articles. And these articles would be written on a wide variety of topics. And he thought it would be easy for people to read. But every time he pitched his idea to someone, they shot it down. And the first publisher he went to, they said, no, we don't think it's going to work. So he printed a sample issue and he sent it out to many publishers. And every one of them said no. But he didn't give up his dream. Dwight and his wife, Lila, printed their first copy from their home. And it was published. And it was the first issue of the Reader's Digest magazine. But he had persistence, tenacity, to keep on going after it, even though folks told him it's not going to work, even though some told him that it's not good enough, even though folks told him that it will never be successful, he kept believing. He had the endurance, he had the resolve to continue in a course of action until he reached his goal. You know what happens to us sometimes? We pray for something and we don't get it in the time that we want it, and we give up. We stop praying. And in essence, we say, that prayer stuff doesn't work. How many of you know that God can turn the spiritual into the tangible? Anybody? And I believe that God cares and that God can do it. The other part that's so powerful is that he was expectant. When I read the scripture, it says that he took his cloak off and he threw it aside. Why would a blind beggar do this? When most of them would keep it close to him so they would know where it was, he tossed it because he was expectant. He believed that God was going to do something about his situation, that God was going to heal his situation. Why pray if we're not going to believe that God can do it? You know what's really interesting about this story, or what I call delicious? The very people who told him to be quiet, Jesus told those very people, bring him to me. Now, Jesus could have walked to Bartimaeus, but he used those people. He says, bring him to me. Bartimaeus tosses his coat aside and he goes to Jesus. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? You see, he was expectant. He believed that it was going to happen. If you get up in the morning and you believe that God is with you and that you're going to have a good day, you probably will have a good day. Amen? But if you get up and you dread the day, you walk through the day with anxiety and you are negative, you're probably not going to have a very good day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But Bartimaeus believed that it would happen. And notice what Jesus says to him. Your faith has made you well. And he immediately began to see. Bartimaeus wasn't afraid to cry out. He wasn't afraid to call upon the name of the Lord. And my friends, that's what I want us to do today. If God were right here, and I believe he is, and God says, what do you want me to do? Now I want you to think about yourself. And he asks you the question, what is it that you want me to do for you? What would you tell him? I go to a Bible study on Wednesday mornings. It's a group of men who I'm in awe to be in their presence. And I ask this question around the room, what is it that you want God to do for you? And the answers were so rich. One guy says, I just want God to use me for the rest of my life with all of my energy. I just want God to use me. And it went to another one. And he says, I just want to be a blessing to someone else. I want to hear God's voice for myself, and I want to keep on sharing the good news with other people. What is it that you want God to do for you? It's a good question. I started a prayer team about a month ago, and some of those folks are here, and I'm going to ask them to come up. And what I want to happen is they're going to stand up here and they're willing to pray with you as I am willing to pray with you, and I'm going to turn off my mic, but the altar is here. Whatever you came in with today, I want you to leave it right here. You don't have to take that burden home with you. And if you want somebody to pray with you, these folks, as they've covenanted with me with confidentiality, and what you say stays right here, stays right with them. But if you just want to come and go to the altar and have a little talk with Jesus, how many of you know that just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right? But we got to be a little bold to do it. So I'm going to ask those folks to come up. Just like it was Bartimaeus, the same God who Bartimaeus called upon, who healed him, is the same God who will heal us. Amen? The same God who will bless us. Come as you feel led, as God leads you.